Well, God bless your hearts in the powerful, wonderful, most perfect name of Jesus Christ. So good to be back and just to share just a little glimpse of the scriptures. Well, tonight I want to share some things that probably go right along with what Bob shared yesterday morning in terms of being wired for success. I'm going to be sharing on a topic I've entitled Nothing But the Word. And to start off with, there are a couple of phrases I'd like to bring into the spotlight for tonight. Both are quite common. And the first one is, you are a product of your environment. The second one is, practice makes perfect. So let's start off with the first phrase. You are a product of your environment. Now, this saying conveys that the circumstances in your surrounding area affect you. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances around you appear to be like. Good or bad, they affect you. And oftentimes, it's quite easy to surround ourselves with an environment that's on the more negative side. And many times, people do this to themselves. Oh, poor me, I have so many problems to worry about. My aches, my pains, my financial struggles, my worries, my fears, my strengths, my weaknesses, my this, my that. The list goes on and on. It's all about me. And what does man do as soon as he begins to experience this kind of environment? Well, he says this, I'm going to fix myself. I'm going to take these scriptures and I'm going to do it all by myself. I'm going to reform myself. I'm going to read my Bible from start to finish and I'm going to fix all of my problems all on my own. And then, while I'm at it, I'm going to also attempt to fix other people's problems. Well, you know what? We try this and we try that. And we try this, and we try that. It's like we can't get any satisfaction. We read books, we take classes, we listen to motivational speakers, we put those who we admire in our midst. But you know what? All of these things are fine and dandy until we realize they get us nowhere. We attempt to look for peace in so many places and even might pray about it. Well, first things first, God says you already have peace. And in Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the question that presents itself is, what environment are you inserting yourself into? The truth is that there are always two sides to every story, two sides to every coin. And there's an opposite to just about everything in life. So we have a choice, right? We can either immerse ourselves in man's world or God's word. And that's a choice we all had to make at some point. And in this life, by golly, many times we still have to make that choice. Do we go with what God's word says about who we are? Or are we going to put our focus on what the world says? Well, the solution, the word, and nothing but the word. That is the solution. And that is God's solution. And I'd say it's probably better than man's solution of wanting to fix himself. Take all the materialistic things I can and find motivation in that. Nope. Let's take a look at that. At this second phrase, practice makes perfect. You know, practice doesn't always come in the form of a physical activity. Many times it's a mental and emotional exercise. And I like to read you a story that embodies this idea of practice, otherwise known as determination. I suppose you could call it the battlefield of the mind. Because this is a spiritual battle we're living in, guys, and that's the challenge we're up against. But what is it that we should be doing to fully embrace the attitude of what God wants us to have? All right, here's the story, which is called The Power of Determination. The little country schoolhouse was heated by an old-fashioned pot-bellied coal stove. A little boy had the job of coming to school early each day to start the fire and warm the room before his teacher and his classmates arrived. One morning, they arrived to find the schoolhouse completely engulfed in flames. They dragged the unconscious little boy out of the flaming building, more dead than alive. He had major burns over the lower half of his body and was taken to a nearby county hospital. From his bed, the dreadfully burned, semi-conscious little boy faintly heard the doctor talking to his mother. The doctor told his mother that her son would surely die, which was for the best, really, for the terrible fire had devastated the lower half of his body. But the brave boy didn't want to die. He made up his mind that he would survive. Somehow, to the amazement of the physician, he did survive. When the mortal danger was past, he again heard the doctor and his mother speaking quietly. The mother was told that since the fire had destroyed so much flesh in the lower part of his body, it would almost be better if he had died, since he was doomed to be a lifetime cripple with no use at all of his lower limbs. Once more, the brave boy made up his mind. He would not be a cripple. He would walk. But unfortunately, from the waist down, he had no motor ability. His thin legs just dangled there, all but lifeless. Ultimately, he was released from the hospital. Every day, his mother would massage his little legs. But there was no feeling, no control, nothing. Yet his determination that he would walk was as strong as ever. When he wasn't in bed, he was confined to a wheelchair. Well, one sunny day, his mother wheeled him out into the yard to get some fresh air. This day, instead of sitting there, he threw himself from the chair. He pulled himself across the grass, dragging his legs behind him. He worked his way to the white picket fence bordering their lot. With great effort, he raised himself up on the fence. Then, stake by stake, he began dragging himself along the fence, resolved that he would walk. He started to do this every day until he wore a smooth path all around the yard beside the fence. There was nothing he wanted more than to develop life in those legs. Ultimately, through his daily massages, his iron persistence, and his resolute determination, he did develop the ability to stand up, then to walk haltingly, then to walk by himself, and then to run. He began to walk to school, then to run to school, to run for the sheer joy of running. Later in college, he made the track team. But that's not all. Still later, in Madison Square Garden, this young man who was not expected to survive, who would surely never walk, who can never hope to run, this determined young man, Dr. Glenn Cunningham, ran the world's fastest mile. Isn't that sweet? Now, the story in particular doesn't state anything about prayer itself, but come to find out, Dr. Cunningham was a faithful Christian man. And I have no doubt that he was so convicted of God's deliverance. You know what his attitude probably was? I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I can do what the Word of God says I can do, and I will be what the Word of God says I will be. That's the mentality of nothing but the Word. I want to read to you Philippians 3:12 through 14. You're welcome to turn there if you'd like. In Philippians 3:12, it says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, just like we heard yesterday, we are wired for success, not because of what this world has in store, but because of what the Word of God says about who we are. Let's take a look at Romans 12:2 once again. We read this yesterday, but this verse is just so spectacular. In Romans 12:2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So once again, what kind of environment will you choose? Man's world or God's Word? And the solution is simple. The solution is always the Word, and nothing but the Word. Well, gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all that you are, Father. We are so thankful for what your word says about who we are, what we have, what we can do, what we will be. We are so awestruck of the reality of Christ within. And I can probably say that we are more inclined than ever to immerse ourselves in your word and in your word alone, Father, and nothing but your word. So I pray for these things in the name of the powerful, the wonderful, and the most perfect name of Jesus Christ. Amen.